Hello and welcome to the Drupal Easy Podcast. This is Ryan Price, just doing a quick intro before we get to the rest of the show. Today we have for you three interviews. One is with Josh Koenig of the Pantheon Project. One is with co-founder of Chapter 3, Matt Chaney, who talks a lot about panels and some awesome distributions that they're putting out. And then we are joined by guest host, who is also the host of the Acquia podcast, Steve Edwards from Drupal Connect. And then we intro our third interview, and it's one that you will not want to miss. So please do listen all the way to the end as we have our continuing coverage of DrupalCon Denver. Now we're here with Josh Koenig from the Pantheon thing. It's because it's not just a service, right? It's like also software that you can play with.
Right. Well, I mean, we're trying to rethink what people need in order to run Drupal, to develop and run Drupal effectively. So it's not, traditional hosting leaves a lot to be desired. GitHub is really awesome, but it's just for hosting your code. And we're trying to kind of bring these ideas together into a single integrated service that Drupal developers can use, Drupal site owners can use, and people who maintain sites over the long haul will get a lot of value out of as well.
So Pantheon kind of started as like a scratch your own itch problem. It's like, we're building these sites, we need the sites to be fast and scalable, and we want awesome dev tools. And so if you start building something like that for yourself, it kind of makes sense almost to like, we could turn this into a company, right?
Yeah, I think it came out of doing some free work with the Mercury Project to open source some system configuration for Drupal that's now become one of the nice thing is like everybody kind of does it that way now. But there's clearly a need out there. People wanted to buy it from someone. They wanted to get it as a service. They want to be able to, not have to DIY this stuff. And when we started thinking about it more holistically, we realized that the Drupal ecosystem, there's a very large need to essentially make a bunch of problems on the infrastructure that will go away. Right, because Drupal developers, most of us, even if we have sysadmin skills, we're sort of reluctant sysadmins, or we don't want to be, on call. We don't want to have to get woken up in the middle of the night if things go down. And also developers, they want tools that just work. Yeah. Right, every hour you spend working on your tools is an hour you're not spending working on your awesome site or keeping your clients happy or building a cool project.
And every time you grow the tent, this problem gets even more pronounced.
Oh no, right? and it's a huge, it's a barrier to entry for new people coming into the project because it's like, it's such a challenge to actually get a good site up and running, and people are really worried about things, and version control, everyone should be using it, but so many people aren't because it's just another barrier to entry. And so we saw, the future of Drupal as, growing and flourishing and, driving a large portion of what the internet actually is, and in order to get there, we have to kind of unblock the project on the infrastructure level so that we can just focus on building the best Drupal and the best Drupal projects out there, and basically not have to worry about where they're running or how.
Right, and even other technologies have this. They have startups like Ruby on Rails has, I can only think of one off the top of my head, Engine Yard.
Mm-hmm. There's another Ruby company called Heroku that we found kind of inspirational because their model is very much like our model. It's very developer-centric, very bottom-up, always free to get started, and then you start to pay if you need more or if you want to go live and you want to do some stuff. And so we wanted to do something that was about, making infrastructure problems go away, letting developers focus on what's most important to them, and really being something that everyone can access. So we actually announced general availability here at DrupalCon yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So as of right now, you can just go to Pantheon, you can sign up, and you can actually experience what it's all about. No cost until you want to take your site live, and the first jump for going live is $25. So if you've got a personal site or a blog you want to try out on Pantheon, you can do it, and you can launch it for $25 a month.
Excellent. That's a very competitive.
Yeah.
And you guys have also basically reworked the whole interface. I've seen a couple of screens over in your booth just now.
Yeah. We had a sort of version one of the product, which was our beta, that we brought to DrupalCon Chicago, and we have actually a large number of customers still happy using. We built that, and then we started to rethink what it would take to really deliver it for tens of thousands of people. And so over the last summer, we started re-engineering our platform, and also we wanted to redesign it. We wanted to build our dashboard in Drupal 7, all these other things we wanted to do. So the current version of Pantheon that's generally available is essentially lessons learned, a ground-up rewrite of everything, from the infrastructure to the dashboard. And it gives us a lot more power and flexibility. So for instance, we're able to do things like provide a lot of installation profiles as, you know, your initial start states. So if people hear about like Panoply or Open Academy or these other things that are coming out here, you can try them on Pantheon like right now for free. I mean, the distro packaging on Drupal is really great. I'm really happy that got out there. But all you get from that at the end of the day is a tarball.
Right.
Where does it go? Right?
Yeah.
In Pantheon, you just click the button and you've got a site immediately. And we think that is going to make a lot more people excited about Drupal as a project. It lets us reach an audience that you can't reach with a tarball. Because there's a lot of people out there that want to use the power of Drupal, but if you give them just a hunk of code, they don't know what to do with it.
Well, and you talked about this at our Drupal camp, was there's going to be all these people that have never even seen Drupal before,
right,
coming into this, and particularly when you do like a business summit. And so we said, well, what if there was like a Drupal test drive?
Right.
And then we said, oh, then we'd have to set up all the distros that we want to demo,
right,
with like sample content and all this stuff. And like, some of those problems are easy to solve, and some of them are like, oh, that means like I have to do work, and I'm already like planning my sessions or doing all this other stuff.
Totally.
Like, so something like this would be really great for that.
Yeah, and that's what we're interested in doing. I mean, we're also like our strategy is inextricably tied to the growth of Drupal and
right,
to the empowerment of Drupal developers and to the creation of better Drupal projects. So, for instance, if you're doing a Drupal camp, you get a free site on Pantheon. We'll host it for free. If you want to do something like this, where you're doing a training or a demo stuff, just talk to us about it. Like, we're really happy to like make resources available for people that are trying to, you know, broaden the pool and expose more people to what we can make available. You know, just sort of hit us up on the contact form. We're happy to offer whatever we can for folks.
And so, your like regular bullet points are, you've got, you know, this machine, it's got all of the sort of libraries you want, the performance optimizations you want,
right,
and you know, the some of the same people that developed Pressflow, which is very famous for being the, you know, high scalability version of Drupal, are working on this project.
Yes,
right?
Definitely. So I think that our bullets are that it's very developer friendly. There's a Git based workflow, but you don't have to use Git. We actually now have an FTP style interface for people. So you don't have to use Git. You can use the sort of direct on-server development, which is really important for theming and also for debugging, because you don't want to be like speculatively pushing commits just to see if you can fix a problem. You need to get in there and mess with it yourself. It's very developer-friendly. It has a deployment workflow, so like dev, test live, or dev stage prod, whatever you want to call it. High performance hosting environment. And we take the drudgery out of Drupal. So like, you got a core update. You just click a one button. That's how we do core updates, right? And it's not like a whole process you have to go through. So the idea is it's going to help people build cooler sites, run them for larger and larger audiences, and also maintain them over time much more easily.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you guys are really... You're serving the need, right? You're looking at what the audience needs and not necessarily like what looks good and
right,
flashy.
Well, I mean, again, that's our background. Like myself and my co-founders and the people at Pantheon, I mean, we've got collectively like 24 years of experience with Drupal. This is like the catchphrase I like to use is by developers for developers.
Right.
And, you know, it's free. It's something that everyone can use. We're like really like looking at everybody in this space, everybody at this conference, everybody around the world that uses Drupal. You know, they should have better tools, right? And the truth is that we end up, you know, at different shops and in different, like, your own little sandbox. You know, you can do a lot of this stuff, but then you're reinventing the wheel and you got to maintain it over time. And we thought that we could just go in and make a pretty successful business out of just solving these problems and making them go away, make the repetitive work go away, let the robots do that type of work, and let the human beings focus on being creative, intelligent, solving problems, and creating really awesome stuff on top of this platform.
Well, and are you guys doing cool things with content, too? Like either stories or like best practices and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff in our... I mean, we offer support to everybody, so the product is supported for developers, even at the free level, right? You can always ask us questions. We'll always try to answer them. If anything is wrong, we'll fix it. And we're creating a larger and larger open public library of best practices documentation, specific tips and tricks, different things on Pantheon. And as we're, you know, the product that we have right now, the dashboard, it's good. You can do everything you need to do, but it's always evolving. And we're figuring out new things to do to add to the dashboard, like better diagnostic tools, better testing tools, you know, sort of assessment things, things like that. And we're always curious to hear what people out there want. Like, what, you know, did you figure something cool out on your own that you want to incorporate? Let's do that. Like, do you have a service that you'd like to offer on Pantheon? Let's do that. Like, we really want to be an enabling type of entity, a catalyst for Drupal to continue to grow and develop in the years to come.
Awesome. It sounds like a really great formula.
Yeah. Well, we hope so. You know, we'll see. It's free to try now. It's for the first time ever. There are no need for invite codes, and we're really excited to see what comes out of that.
Awesome. Thanks, Josh. Do you have anything else that you want to plug in there?
No, I think that's good. I mean, you know, check out the hot new distributions and sign up and give us feedback. That's really what we want. We want to hear from the Drupal community in terms of like what they love, what they don't love, what they'd like to see.
Okay. And so from Chapter 3 and 4 Kitchens is the lucky number 7 Pantheon? What?
Somebody said that the other day we should just call it 7. But I don't know. The number thing isn't as hot as it used to be. So right. Maybe if we rebrand, we'll do that. But it was a cool thing. You know, it came out of these companies that we had started ourselves and built with our own two hands, and then we decided we wanted to do something different. And it was kind of an interesting leap because we sort of fired ourselves from our old jobs to take on and start this new thing. We still have a good relationship with all those folks, but. It was exciting. I mean, you know, hopefully, like, I think there's a lot to be said for innovating, and I think in the Drupal space there's lots of room for innovation. There's so much space out there for people to do exciting things.
And I think this year, seeing the number of these startup companies that have booths,
yeah,
you know, that's exciting.
Yeah, no, and there's
it's a sign of something that's maturing.
Right, definitely, it's a sign of something that's maturing. But I think the hopefully maturing in a way that isn't like becoming old and stuffy. Right, it's maturing in a way that's becoming like actually exciting and you know, could be a really big deal. I mean, we all sort of have stars in our eyes about the future of Drupal, but I don't think we're wrong. I think that we're really onto something here, and it's going to take maybe a couple more years to really see the full value, but it's going to be amazing.
Great, thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Ryan.
So now I'm here with Matt Chaney, who is one of the founding members of Chapter 3. And Chapter 3, if you don't know who they are, just go Google it, because seriously, they're everywhere. And Matt, you are a big proponent of the panels made by our favorite drinking game friend, Earl Miles. And he had nice things to say about the Panoply and you would call it a distro. We're not saying install profile anymore, right? We're saying distro, which is called Open Academy. So welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thanks, Ryan. I've been using panels for a long time, and I'm a big fan of the platform. Most of the sites we do at Chapter 3 use panels, and then when I switched over about a year and a half ago to work on Pantheon full-time, we built our actual dashboard and a lot of the technology we use there with panels as well. And one of the things that we had sort of carried over from some of the work at Chapter 3 was a lot of sort of contacts and interaction with universities. And so one of the things that we have done recently sort of as a sort of combination effort between Pantheon and Chapter 3 is to build a distribution or a product solution for universities that will, on an application level, provide them sort of a university website in a box, and then it'll sort of clearly work with a sort of hosting platform like Pantheon or otherwise. And at DrupalCon, we've released Open Academy as a, you know, install a profile on Pantheon, as well as a downloadable from Drupal.org.
And so it's definitely probably got some features that universities are looking for, as well as, I mean, I know that you guys are really big fans of panels. Like, if you don't know about the panels everywhere, maybe that's a good primer to do right now, and then talk about like what you get out of the box with Open Academy.
Sure. One of the reasons that I really like panels is that I feel it offers the kind of like drag and drop and sort of what you see is what you get site building experience that I've always wanted in Drupal. I've mentioned in my talk, there's a really great sort of audio recording of about 25 5-year-old version of me talking about panels in the future and it's going to change Drupal. And I know that that's, you know, some of that was wishful thinking, but I feel that, like, as panels has developed and matured as a product framework, I think it has a lot of advantages because it does have a really extendable set of APIs and a bunch of ways to plug into it. And one of the things that I sort of championed almost 2 years ago now was to bring the sort of power of panels that developers have always seen and known to the front end. And one of the things that we worked on at sort of back in the day at Chapter 3 with Sam Boyer, who's the other co-maintainer of panels, was to develop what's known as the IPE, or in-place editor. And that's the system that allows you to sort of on your front page or on any page in your site actually hit customize this page, and you get the same sort of drag and drop and configuration interface that you normally would get on the back end, but on the front end with your content so you can see it. And that's something that sort of I've been working and extending over the past, you know, sort of year and a half to try to build new features in. And I've been talking a lot to Earl, who has also been doing similar kinds of work with a lot of the stuff he's been doing. And so one of the things that really sort of came together for this DrupalCon Open Academy is to sort of package up a lot of the panels sort of magic that, like, has Panelizer module, Fieldable Panel Panes module, the IP, and a number of extensions that I always use, and that we sort of package this all together to another distribution that we call Panoply. And Panoply is sort of a foundational set of install profiles, or it's install profile has a bunch of foundational apps or modules that then we use to actually build Open Academy on top of.
Cool. So they kind of like have a common code base?
They have a common code base, and Panoply provides a lot of sort of building blocks for products that then Open Academy actually takes advantage of and implements for, you know, the university specific use case. And I feel this is a great way for people to build products because it allows you to have a foundation with all of the good panels technology, as well as the WYSIWYG and some search stuff and a number of layouts that then you can sort of spend most of your expertise and time building a specific solution for, like, for university or for another use case.
This is something that I think the distributions and install profiles on Drupal.org have had kind of an identity crisis with for a while, is like, how do you make something that's general and something that's specific? Like, it's really hard to do, like, both. And so maybe, I don't know of a lot of other projects that are approaching it this way, where they just kind of have, like, two products.
Yeah, I think that, to me, like, I initially had started as one product, but one of the reasons we branched off into two was because I felt that what we ended up developing for Open Academy did have a lot of generalizable use cases to it. You can take a, you know, you can create a page node, and you can customize it and change the layout for just that node and add fields to it, and, like, make really sort of have a sampling experience that's very, very clean and easy. And that's something that universities definitely need for producing content and informing their users, but, like, many other people need too. And that was part of the separation we did to sort of say, okay, let's go release the Panoply as a sort of base install, then put Open Academy on top, and then encourage other people to try to use Panoply as well for their specific use cases.
Cool. And so we're at DrupalCon, of course. It's kind of the end of DrupalCon. Like, everybody's streaming down the staircase right now. And what sorts of things do you, like, look forward to when you come to a DrupalCon? And, like, was there something specific that you're trying to get out of this year, like, coming to Denver?
I love DrupalCon. I've gone to pretty much every one for the past, you know, 5 years. I helped a lot with one in San Francisco to help organize it, and it's one of my favorite times of the Drupal year. In part because they're announcing something or sharing something. It's, you know, people are my friends I haven't seen for a long time that are up to cool stuff, and, you know, it's sort of just running into people you know or people you don't know and saying, hey, you know, how are you doing and what are you up to? And for me personally, like, we were releasing Open Academy and Panoply as distributions, and then for Pantheon, we went into general availability so everyone can try it without an invite code. And that, to me, like, that's just a lot to do, but I like that energy. There's a nice sort of moment in time, a Drupal moment, if you will, where people sort of put out the coolest stuff they have and everybody talks about it. So I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely like a flurry of activity. Do you get into, like, now, like, your core conversations? Like, I know that with the whole, panels, there's a lot of people talking about doing, contexts in core and layouts in core and stuff like that. So are you participating in those discussions too?
Yeah, I'm definitely very active in the sort of, you know, a lot of the initiatives around the layout and sort of taking panels and a lot of the work that I've been working on and Earl's working on other folks and getting into core. We had a core conversation number of offs to really address that. And I feel part of the work we're doing at Panoply is to sort of try to sort of, you know, use case test and sort of get out some ideas for people to see in public that could be real candidates for getting involved with Drupal 8. And I think that there's, you know, there's a real need in Drupal to have something out of the box that allows people to customize pages and have that kind of experience that people honestly are expecting and seeing in other products and have that in Drupal. And I feel that part of, you know, sort of testing it with the university case is helpful because it gives us some real feedback around what's useful, what's not useful, that can inform a larger sort of conversation.
Is there anything else that you want to plug? I mean, I know like Chapter 3 is getting big into support now as like a kind of a new like effort. I mean, maybe you were always doing it, but one of the things I was told is like it's kind of new.
I mean, I think the stuff that I've been really excited about this week is Pantheon's in general availability. So you, as a developer, you can log in and try it for free. And we have, if you want to go live, a $25 a month plan, which I think makes Drupal really accessible to new people and to people who just want high power tools, but you know, $25 a month, I think it's an accessible price point. With Chapter 3, we're also trying to make Drupal better by, you know, offering our developer support services. So if people have a site and they don't want to hire someone to build it or a huge bunch of hours, but want to ask a few questions to people who know what they're doing, that's something that, you know, we're trying to support. And certainly people, if they have questions on panels or some of that stuff, that's you know, we know that very, very well and be happy to support that. But both companies are also hiring and, you know, same as everybody. And, you know, but we're really excited about Drupal and Drupal events and everything like that.
Awesome. Well, I think that's going to be wrapping it up for me, at least for this DrupalCon, and definitely looking forward to Munich and Portland as well. And not that I actually went to the announcement, but it was no big secret either. So, should be exciting, and it's a little bit of a closer trip for you guys next year, maybe, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, no problem to travel to, you know, see my Drupal friends.
Excellent. All right, so how do people find you on the internet? You got Chapter 3.
Chapter3.com, getpantheon.com, and I'm a populist on Twitter and on Drupal.org.
All right, very awesome. Thanks a lot.
I can listen to that interview over and over again. Perhaps after this podcast, I'll listen to it. I'll have a chance.
Excellent. So we are rejoined now, right?
No, we're not rejoined. Steve was not with us before.
Oh, it's a different bald guy, but we are. We had Steve on earlier in the week.
No,
didn't we?
Unless I'm going to be with you in the future.
No, he was there.
Yeah.
Okay, you were blaming me for not remembering. Now you don't.
See, this is what happens with DrupalCons. My brain is officially mush.
Nobody knows history. We sat about 20 feet away, remember?
Oh, that's right. We were over there. Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Steve.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, good to be here. I can tell you missed me.
Yikes.
Okay, so.
We're not so close to the bathrooms this time, so you hopefully won't hear any flushing.
Yeah. Steve Edwards from the Acquia Drupal podcast.
Yes.
And Drupal Connect.
And Drupal Connect.
Got to get that plug in there. And the home of DrupalCon in 2013.
Woohoo! May of 2013.
It's hard to say that, 2013.
Portland, Oregon. No, we're in 2012, right?
We are 2012, yeah.
It's amazing.
So what do you know? So tell us, give us the elevator pitch for Portland.
Beautiful city. Beautiful city right in the, we got the mountains on one side, probably about an hour away, Mount Hood. And then the other side, you got the beach, about an hour and a half away, Cannon Beach, Seaside. The whole Oregon coast is really beautiful. We got the Columbia River Gorge, lots of waterfalls. We got Multnomah Falls, which is the second highest falls in the continental U.S.
Wow.
You can hike up to the top of it about a mile. Incredible scenery. And like Chris Bloom mentioned in the closing plenary, the greatest amount of breweries within the city limits than any other city in the U.S. or something along those lines.
Do you think there's going to come a point when we stop emphasizing the beer consumption of the Drupal community?
Well, we could also mention the coffee consumption because we got huge amounts of coffee houses, Starbucks and coffee people and you name it on every corner around there. So when you drink too much at night, then you can get up and have coffee in the morning to wake you up.
It evens itself out. It's self-regulating in some sense. So why don't you... what is Drupal Connect? Just give us a little elevator pitch of Drupal Connect?
We're a Drupal development firm. We focus on Drupal, obviously. The name sort of indicates that. We actually started out as Drupal staffing, as just a staffing firm to hire Drupal developers for companies, and then we slowly got into development as the command, as the demand increased.
This is what DrupalCon does to people.
Yes, it does. As the demand increased, and so now we focus primarily on development. We have about between 40 and 50 developers working, or themers, people working at any one time on different projects.
Awesome. Cool. So, what was your favorite thing? DrupalCon's all done now, so like, did you have something that just like blew you away and like, I'm so glad I was here for that?
I went to a lot of sessions. Drush 5 is really cool. It's amazing the stuff that it's going out today that they, I think they said in the session.
I heard there's, I wasn't in that presentation, but I heard there's a web server built in.
Yes, they have like a built-in web server. You can just fire it up with one command. You can even create a whole site just with QD, quick deploy. Drush QD will literally create a whole site with an SQLite database. That, you know, if you, the idea was that you just want to work on a core patch or some module that you're working on, you just fire it up and then you can shut it down and it's gone. And it requires, I think it requires like PHP 5.3, and you got to have sockets installed, which is usually installed for everybody anyway.
Wow.
But it's just amazing. It was Owen Barton was talking about that, and it was, you know, he had a itch to scratch. You know, he got tired of having to go set up a whole new site, so he came up with this and the whole web server thing he came up with because he got tired of having to set up stuff from scratch all the time. So, and he demoed it right there in the presentation, too. It's amazing to watch.
So I wonder, so will developers be able to create like a site, you know, to test core patch and then roll it up and provide it as like an export that Drush can then spin up and run right from there?
I don't know about that. No. I know that it, part of that command also is you can have it, it'll automatically bring up your browser. There's a parameter you can add, so it starts up your site and then brings it up right there in your browser. And you can say, okay, I want to be logged in as UID1 or whatever. It's just all, he said, I think it wins the contest for the most command with the most parameters. A huge list of all these different things that you can do.
And that's going out as a dev version soon?
Drush 5, it's getting released today. Most said that they're going to release it today.
Release?
Yeah.
Wow.
Release Drush 5. It's been in the works for a while, because I know Mark Sonnenbaum and
I've been running the beta forever. Or the dev version forever, I should say.
Yeah, I think I have too.
Yeah.
We got a Portland link there. Jonathan Hedstrom works for Open Sorcery. He's one of the main developers that for Drush on the team that was announcing today.
Awesome.
But the other thing I love to do is maps. And I haven't gotten into it. It's one of those things I wish I had more time, and I'll eventually get into it. But like Eric Gunderson and his crew from Mapbox, their presentation, and then they did a BOP where they walked through how to do all this stuff with TileMill and Mapbox hosting. Just amazing. Some of the stuff you can do so easily and make it really, really look cool.
Awesome.
So they've got an app, a TileMill app, that it has like a Mac installer or Windows installer. You download it, and it's an app that you run on your computer, make your maps, you know, your zoom levels, all your details, package it up, put it on mapbox.com, and you can host it and then link it into your site.
That's fantastic.
It's amazing. It's really cool what they do with maps. Now, what I want to do is integrate stuff like Apache Solr and their geospatial capabilities with where you can find points and then integrate that with like TileMill or Mapbox.
Right.
I know I did one podcast with Neil Hastings from Treehouse Agency because they did the site for U.S. Department of Energy, energy.gov, where they combined solar and the geospatial stuff from Solr 3.5 with some maps. I don't know if it's necessarily the way I'm thinking of it, but it was a pretty cool integration.
It sounds like the amount of friction required to do that type of integration just keeps on getting lower
and lower all the time. Yeah, there's more and more pieces that to put together to do that stuff. So yeah, those are my favorite things that I saw.
One of my favorite moments from the con was, I was in a, and I may have mentioned this already on one of the other shows, but this is just epic moment. In one of the core conversations about like the render API and how it's doesn't need to be in Drupal 8 in its current incarnation, CHX stands up there and he says, "As long as we don't have to deal with the render arrays of doom." That was like Spanish CHX. That was terrible.
That was, yeah. That
don't
was
let
Hungarian.
Me do that anymore.
I think he's Hungarian. You might want to work on your Hungarian accent.
But the render arrays of doom.
And John Albin said we need to make a t-shirt that says Drupal 7 and the Arrays of Doom.
So is there...
We already could with form API arrays.
is there actual momentum to remove that? Or is that just CHX?
Well, there was actually a really cool proposal by Nate Haug and Jen Lampton to basically replace most of what we do with PHP template with tokens. And it's not mature or anything, but there's actually apparently a sandbox you can go play with
that
uses token for placing all the variables instead of bracket, question mark, PHP, print, parentheses, something, this, render. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, you put a square bracket and then you run that, your template file through token, and it just replaces all your tokens.
That seems...
And Nate's argument was, you know, we have this thing, it already cleans your output, it's secure, we know how to extend it, and it's in core. It's like, it was, it's, yeah, I don't know...
It's kind of like a light bulb moment. Like,
I don't know if it's going anywhere, but it's a really cool proposal. And apparently they proposed it as a session, and they should have proposed it as a core conversation.
Okay.
And that was one of the reasons why I didn't get picked, because, like, so many sessions.
Yeah. I saw a cool session today called Taxi Cab Confessions.
Yeah.
And it was it was a case study for a green taxi company out of, is it Madison, Wisconsin, I believe? I think it was Madison, Wisconsin.
I don't know.
Where they actually, and it was, I forget the name of the developer, the development company. I think Steve's looking it up. Hopefully you can say it in a second. But they built a dispatch system with Drupal as the back end and a custom PhoneGap iPad application in each car.
That's great.
So, you know, the iPad app basically reported the position of the car and took care of communication with the Drupal app to either accept fares or fare requests, I believe was the word they used. It was all done in 6 weeks. I think with the vast majority of contributed modules, very little custom code from what I heard, other than the PhoneGap application, which sounded, in at least its first iteration, ridiculously easy to create. Just a really cool case study of what could be done with existing contributed modules in Drupal in a short period of time.
Awesome.
I believe it was two developers working full-time for 6 weeks when they built it. And they launched it, and they had some performance issues, which they kind of, you know, they didn't really see coming, but they were able to fix very quickly, and now they're looking at kind of expanding things and making it more performant and having a iPhone app for customers to call up a car.
Oh, wow.
And actually watch their car get closer to them, you know, to pick them up. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, Green Cab of Madison. So these iPads is their vehicle meter in their Toyota Prius green cabs.
Right. But the name of the company...
Oh, it was starts with a P.
Yeah, I think I know what it is, but I don't want to say it in case I'm wrong.
Promet Source.
There you go. Okay.
Awesome.
So did you talk to anybody today, or do you hole up in the corner like you normally do?
And to preserve the surprise, I'm not going to say either of their names, but there are two gentlemen who we're about to hear from.
Well,
and what I'm going to say is, go get a couple of tall boys.
Yes.
All right?
Crack them open. Put a bib on if you need to. Maybe, you know, give your significant other your car keys. Strap yourself into your seat.
And play the Drupal drinking game.
Very nice. Here it is. All right. So I'm now here with Blank and Blank, your two favorite Drupal Easy drinking game buddies. And if I actually had to, like, come up with what I thought separated technologists from the muggles, as you may say, it would be that the technologist is somebody who is not afraid to try and solve a problem, the people who scratch their own itch. And I'm sitting with two such people right now, and I'm going to let them go ahead and introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Earl Miles. You might know me better as Merlin of Chaos. I own 50% of the top four modules on Drupal.org.
Drink?
Oh, yes, take a drink. or take a few drinks. And I am Dave Reed, so I drink, and I have the other 49%. You know, we'll leave 1% out there as kind of everything else, but, you know, I think between us, we've got a majority share.
Well, yeah. Trip. We have a lot of code.
Whether that's good or bad, I haven't decided yet, but we just do.
We do.
Yes. And so, I mean, like, I guess that was my intro, is like, you guys definitely are not afraid of pushing out a module now and then.
I try not to do too many new modules. It's not like I don't have enough to do with my 3 or 4. It's actually like up to 8 now, because I just went back on what I said and pushed out like 3 new modules in the last year. But of course, that 3 in the last year is nothing compared to Dave over here. Well, I mean, and I'm going to like have to take a drink back, because like, you know, in about the last year, I've actually kind of been more reasonable. You know, things have kind of slowed down a little bit. You know, the pace isn't quite putting out code quite as fast. And I've actually been known to say in a couple of cases where someone has a module idea, I'm like, well, actually, you know, using module Y would be good for that. You should use one of Earl's modules for that, Frank.
You can't sprint all the time, and you kind of came into the Drupal world at a sprint.
I was kind of running pretty fast, and so now I'm trying to, you know, keep the marathon pace.
Yes,
you know,
marathon
slowing
is good.
Down.
Cool. So it's DrupalCon, of course, and DrupalCon is great for, you know, catching up with people, and definitely like the core conversations is a big thing for me. Like I love watching the process happen. It's like democracy in action. And have you guys been doing any of that core conversation stuff this time?
I followed a few. I'm working with Chris Vanderwater, Eclipse GC, on the layouts initiative, which apparently is now being dubbed Scotch, so it can compete with whiskey. I forget the funny backward acronym that someone gave it, but it started with super cool, and you don't need the rest.
That's a double drink at home.
Oh, yes, you got to drink the Scotch at home. And so that's looking pretty cool. It may be kind of panels and core. Some people are saying that, some people aren't. But if all the things Chris wants to do get into core, then there will be no need for a panels module.
Yes. Well, and there was a core conversation with Angie about the, like, WYSIWYG as the rest of the world sees WYSIWYG, not the WYSIWYG module version of it. And that more or less would be like a panel-y kind of a thing.
Yes.
Which is just, it hurts my head to think about, like, how do we save that and store it and all that stuff. But that's why we're kind of giving ourselves the better part of a year to hopefully try and figure some of that stuff out.
I think the saving and storing it is the easy part. It's representing it in the UI that's the hard part.
Yeah.
And making sure people can make the changes they want. I mean, I haven't had to update the schema for panels except for tweaks in years, but the UI I keep having to redo because I don't ever get it right. And anyone who's had to use Page Manager can go, well, there's some things right there and some things clearly not right, and what is the right way? And that's where we're going to spend all of our conversation, I think.
Yeah, that's always a tough question to answer. I mean, it's not in the easy wins of, oh yes, we know 100% how to move forward with this and how it should be presented to the user. And that's something we're encountering in media too, but I mean, on a smaller scale. But yeah, it's not an easy thing.
Well, I went to your session, Earl, about the drink panelizer module, and all the kind of like panels, the panoply of panels modules.
And the distro.
Yes. So that you do have some of that with Panelizer and with the Panels in Place editor, which actually a number of people have done a pick of the week on our podcast of Panelizer specifically.
Excellent.
Because I think it just saves them so much time.
Yeah. And what's interesting is it's fairly new. It's only been out there in a solid state for a really... Well, there's the 2.0 version. I actually just did the official release this week, finally, not release candidate. But even going back for this Drupal 6 version, I think I initially wrote it maybe a year ago. And usage statistics-wise, it only has like 350 users. And I'm really hoping that kind of balloons, because I think people don't know what it is yet. But I think they will very soon.
Yeah.
And the in-place editor, it has some of those, like, draggy-droppy qualities to it. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, one of the questions I asked as soon as I saw that, I was like, well, how do you do permissions on it? Or, like, how would you, you know, there must be some things that you need to keep in one place. And apparently that problem at least has a solution in in-place editor.
Yeah, the permissions, I think, is we've more or less got a handle on. We've got a simple set coming, a simple set right now. We've got a more complicated layer that's the architecture's there underneath. We just have to finish building the UX for, where you can give a granular set of permissions so that if you have ranges of content editors and site builders that you want to scale back what they can do, that's all there. It's still not the easiest thing in the world to manage, but it's also necessary for a lot of bigger sites.
Well, and even just the whole, like, push a button, edit exactly one field.
Oh, yeah. That's the permissions on that aren't too bad because you've got field access. That's baked into field API. So all we have to do is make sure that we can expose which ones we want them to be able to push and which ones we don't want them to be able to push.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, just that... The admin interface, especially if you listen to Dree's keynote, even, like, that's something that we could be a leader in, but we're definitely not right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of that stuff, like, it has to come from somewhere. Like, we can't just, like, invent it overnight.
Every time they do formal UX studies on Drupal, one of the takeaways that they keep getting is they want something panels like, particularly the IPE in core, that people can do a lot better if they can see what they're building as they're building it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Dave.
Yes.
What are you working on?
So really my big thing that I've been working on recently is the media project in Contrib. And so it's something that I kind of started getting involved last summer with Palantir, because the module had kind of gotten, you know, development had slowed down. It was kind of languishing in the issue queue. And so I kind of did, you know, the stupid thing and offered to help out with it, and basically adopted the module, kind of.
Like a cat.
Like a cat, I know. Just a crazy... I could be on Hoarders. It would be a good thing for me to have. Like, we could have that, like, a keynote or, like, a BOF session, Hoarders, you know, module style. But, I mean, it really needed a lot of help, and getting someone to keep pushing it forward, because it wasn't really in a finished state. So we wanted to continue to make it usable, make it more customizable. We've kind of put in a pattern of, like, reducing, reusing, and recycling with modules, what I like to say. So we had our own little media browser, which shows all the things you've already uploaded on your site, and to be able to pick and reuse files or images or video. And this was custom code that had been written. And what we did is basically just, hey, there's a module out there that's really great at listing things and filtering things and sorting things and displaying them.
That would be cool.
I've heard of a module like that.
Yeah. Why don't we just use Vue's drink? And so we put effort into that, and it's just that simple fact of being able to, like, add filters on the media browser to, you know, filter based on tags or, you know, any different ranges of things, just made it much more flexible for content editors in that media browser. And, you know, we're pushing a lot of different things to usability improvements, stability improvements. We're trying to get a 1.0 release out, you know, before Drupal 7 gets too old and Drupal 8's released, you know, at some point. And we're also trying to, you know, keep getting community momentum behind the module, too. I'm kind of running an unofficial initiative right now, because I like to, you know, fly by the seat of my cuff and just do whatever I want to do, apparently.
I think Sun wanted to coin the term that an unofficial initiative is an effort.
I do have lots of efforts, that's true. Yeah. You know, but we're getting a lot of community momentum behind it. I'm empowering people to do usability testing and usability review of the module and report back on it. We're empowering people to emulate the Vue's drink bug squad with the media module, and it's really been helping out. So I think kind of what's happening is, what's that movie where like the girl tries to copy the appearance of her roommate and like look like her? I think I'm trying to copy Earl.
Yes!
They say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
And probably by the next DrupalCon I will have killed him.
Oh! Right here. That hurts.
Apparently that's my goal.
Okay.
That one scene where you're like both looking in the mirror and you can't tell if it's the mirror or real life, and you just have to start to grow the beard.
Yeah, that could happen.
Okay.
That could happen.
I could grow a neck beard.
A neck beard, yeah. Get a couple of cats.
I got a couple of cats.
Okay.
I'd like to actually, would you like them?
You don't ask that, you can't ask that question lightly around me.
Trust me, I don't. I've been trying to unload one of them for a while because she's beautiful and wonderful and loves to pee on things.
Oh. Wait, so we're not talking about a module, right?
You know, and I was just thinking, you know, that cat and module comparison, if we go that too far, does that mean issue queues are litter boxes?
You know, it really feels like it. Really feels like it. Dealing with a lot of crap all the time.
Oh, yeah. And hairballs.
Oh, and hairballs, yeah. I think that's more critical crash bugs. Those are the hairballs.
On the efforts versus initiatives, what if they were called labors? The seven labors of Dave Reed.
I don't know, because if you call them labors, then it's more like work, and if you call it effort, it's more like, I can do it. I don't know, there's more... labor, it feels kind of thankless.
The little Rodney that could.
Yeah. I don't know. There's
spinning in my little hamster wheel, going nowhere.
I think there's more positive to effort. Oh, but speaking of the Views Bug Squad, you want to join the Views Bug Squad? Okay, I have to get out of that thing. I'm a horrible cheerleader, but since I'm on the radio or whatever this is, then I have to go say it.
It's the closest thing we'll ever have to a Drupal radio station.
Yeah, I mean, we have a magazine, though.
We do have a magazine.
Which I'm in, as is my wife, Lynette. We both have pretty good articles in there.
Cool.
I think it's like a Drupal pirate radio is the next logical step here.
Oh,
that's offshore, kinda... like broadcasting to satellite towers all over the world.
We won't let the man control our radio. Radio. Not Acquia.
There was a Drupal streaming thing at one point that was just streaming a bunch of Drupal videos in, like, you know, with a VJing type thing. It didn't last very long. It seemed like it was too much effort for the payoff. That was a few years ago now, back when streaming internet was the thing. It seems to have kind of...
Maybe we need to find somebody like on a college campus where they have like unlimited bandwidth, set up like an Icecast server or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Cool. So Earl, you have this the Earldom.
The Earldom.
Is that the right word for it?
Probably not. I mean, usually we call it the Chaos Family or something along those lines.
Okay, but you now are doing you're not like directly employed by Company X or Company Y.
Well, I am directly employed by a company that I own, so...
Well,
tell us
about that.
So, last year, I decided to go independent, and I'm still associated with IO1, and I'm still director of research there, but I'm also the president and CEO of my own company, Logris Inc. I actually have employees that are not me, sell my services, but I'm also selling my brother-in-law's services because it seemed to make a lot of sense at the time. And he's actually coming along really well. I mean, for a guy who didn't know anything about Drupal in January, he is now successfully doing site building.
That's impressive.
So he's come along really well. It helps that he's in our house, and when he has questions, he's got me and Lynette, so there's a lot of experience to get him over that hump. But he's doing really well.
It's like the ultimate internship.
It is. It is. And that's, I mean, right now where he is. So I'm hoping that over the next year we can expand and do some real site building work and get him... involved in the community as well.
Are there any instances where, like, it's 2 a.m. and he's, everyone's in pajamas and in bed, and he's like knocking on your door, Earl.
No.
How do you do this?
No, I make him go to bed.
Okay.
He goes to bed before we do, honestly. So, but he works hard and he gets up early and sits down and just all over it. Drupal is me. I mean, their video library is impressive. He has gotten a lot out of that library.
Cool. Yeah, they're a great service, and I'm still waiting to get paid to say that.
Oh yeah. Hey, Addy, I want to pay back for that plug.
Nice. A real great service.
A real great service.
We love it. We use it.
I'm waiting.
Yeah. Watch the My Little Ponies fall from the sky.
Oh yes, if they pay me in ponies, I'm actually okay with that, because who doesn't want a pony?
I actually prefer pony corns.
Oh, it's true, pony corns are good.
So Dave, you mentioned Palantir. What's going on over there?
You know, I don't work for myself. I work for Palantir, which is based out of Chicago. I mean, everyone's probably heard of it. We got, you know, kind of a kick-ass engineering staff there. And I just enjoy what I do. They really give us the opportunity to, like, pursue stuff in public, like, you know, doing this media initiative. And I've got the full support with everyone there that... to be able to drive it and push it forward, because we know it's in not only our best interest, in the community's best interest. And I mean, that's kind of a good quality to find in someone that's, you know, paying you money to work on things. So yeah, I enjoy it. I do still, you know, people think of Kiki as the mascot, Kiki the dog,
right,
as the mascot of Palantir, but I'm starting to push that, you know, Rodney's kind of the backup and the mascot in waiting.
It's like the sidekick.
So
are we getting a case of dueling mascots here?
You know, it would actually be nice that, you know, the next DrupalCon, you know, Kiki came out and Rodney came out. We could have them go at it at the booth. See who wins.
I don't know. Kiki's kind of a poofy little dog. I don't know that there's any competing from Kiki.
And Rodney is easily scared.
Oh, well, okay.
So it could be, it could be an instance where no one wins.
Or Kiki will just go and, you know, just be excited and win with excitement.
It could be.
Okay, is that Steve Zissou walking by? What's that? It's like living, working on the boat.
There are some interesting characters here.
We definitely are. I was very surprised to see Amitai's haircut this time.
I haven't met him before, so I don't know what changed.
He's got like this wacky back mohawk. I don't even know what you would call it. It's like a...
It didn't stand out to me.
It's quasi-mullet, actually.
Oh, okay.
Quasi-mullet.
Yeah, it didn't stand out to me at all when I met him yesterday. Of course, I have had trouble remembering the various meetings I've had yesterday. Like, oh, I know you. Let's shake hands, say hi. See, I can't even say it right. And then 5 minutes later, I have forgotten visually what happened. I know who I met, and I can't remember what they look like. So,
yeah, I have a long-standing policy that, you know, anyone that I see at DrupalCon is potentially, you are new to me.
Yeah.
Earl, it was great to meet you.
Great to meet you.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the name tags are, the name tags at this con, when they turn around, they still have your name on them. So it's actually pretty easy to get the names. And at one point, I got over the embarrassment of just grabbing someone's name tag and going, oh, okay, you are, because it's just easy.
My name tag actually, like, opens up. So, like, it's kind of awkward. You have to, like, peek around and see it. So, I don't know, I need, like, a paper clip or something.
I saw a couple people with, like, a rubber band.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. That works.
Maybe we need one of those awesome little, like, clasps with the string. We, like, wrap it.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, a wax seal.
A wax seal. That would go very well with the Earl theme.
Earl theme. Oh, I get it. I get it.
Royalty. The cult of Earl.
And the Earl of Chaos.
Did you see Earl's Bar, though?
I didn't. I still have my kids. I haven't done any of the parties. So I did. I heard that there was a party at Earl's Bar.
It's a very nice balcony from which to, you know, survey your domain.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't know. EdenCon was the place to be.
This was pretty epic.
I heard some interesting drinking going on at EdenCon. Also bears, and I'll let you look that one up.
Bears.
And mustaches.
Mustaches.
Lots of mustaches.
But yeah, I think Jeff Eaton has a little bit of popularity going on himself.
Oh, definitely.
Well, have we left anything major out?
Let's see. Views Bug Squad, Panelizer, Use Panelizer, Download Panelizer, check
drink.
It out.
So basically it's like
drink. Dave.
I mean, my latest module out there is Mustache Module.
Nice. How many modules do you actually have?
It depends on what you count. Is it modules that I've written and own, or is it modules that also includes things I co-maintain?
Let's say modules,
and if an
that
active
you,
co-maintainer.
Modules that you are currently registered as the owner.
See, that's about more like 40.
40?
Yeah.
For me, I think it's 9.
Yeah, I think Jeff Eaton still has me beat on authorship modules.
Yeah, but at least he'll admit that any module that he has written, he's probably not going to ever look at again. And you actually have this responsibility gene, maybe, or something.
Or a sucker gene.
Sucker responsibility.
I would
open source
that
is
way.
Like that.
Dumb gene.
I mean, who am I to complain? I have the same problem. So
just wait until one of your modules like starts to languish and like, hey, Earl, I'd like to co-maintain this module.
I've been very open to that. I'm actually looking for co-maintainers for all my modules, particularly for Drupal 6. Speaking of which, I found a sucker to co-maintain C-Tools this week. Two of them. Two suckers are co-maintaining C-Tools. I'm not going to sure how to pronounce Damien Klape. He's doing Drush stuff for C-Tools. And Tim Plunkett. I kind of suckered him into it by not having time to fix a critical bug, and he did. So I said, here, you commit it. And all of a sudden, he's actually being a co-maintainer, and it's pretty awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry to you, Tim. I'm very sorry.
I mean, I apologize, Tim, but thank you for being a sucker.
I am also looking to have new co-maintainers for about 15 of my modules. You know, they're the smaller things, like just random crap I've written and never used in 2 years.
Ooh, is that the novice tag? Like, you actually don't need anyone who's really solid to co-maintain those?
It's the seeking new maintainer.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you don't actually need someone who's high profile or really knows what they're doing. You just want someone with some enthusiasm.
Yeah. Someone who wants, like, to maintain a module for the first time or something.
Yeah, so that'd be a good way to get into Drupal and actually contribute something.
Plus, you'd have the prestige of taking over a Dave Reed module. Mm. I mean, I can't oversay the, you know, that karma that you would get for that.
There you go. Providing help to some of the high-profile people in the community is a great way to earn a lot of karma in a very short period of time.
Awesome. Well, Merlin. Earl.
You make Merlin. Merlin. I respond to Merlin. I do not respond to Erlin.
Where do we find all about you?
AngryDonuts.com. That's my blog. And I also have a live journal, MerlinofChaos.livejournal.com. It's going to be personal stuff. But I got some... I recently wrote a story for my daughter on there. So if you like kids' stories, I have the story that we kind of co-wrote.
Is it Good Night Drupal?
No. It's called How Melissa McGee Saved Christmas.
Okay.
And I don't know. There may be a follow-up on that one because I've got a couple ideas for sequels to the story.
So the Drupal to sleep?
Yeah. No, that's probably not going to be Drupal-related. It's going to be dragons and ponycorns, and I got an elf in there. And
yeah, I'm already interested.
So... It's a pink ponycorn, though.
I'm sold.
Okay.
Dave, where is your home on the interwebs?
Well, my home that I never go to very often is davereed.net. But mostly you can find me on Twitter. That's where I spend most of the time.
Oh, yeah, Twitter. There's
and an IRC.
Yeah. Actually, I was trying to see if I could break 4,000 followers this DrupalCon. I'm really close.
Did you?
I'm. Last I looked, I was 20 shy, so...
I'm trying to beat John Elbin for the most followed Palantir.
Oh, yeah? What are you up to?
I think I'm up to about 2,000.
About 2,000.
He's higher.
We need to get a follow boost on Dave Reed then.
Yeah. Follow at Merlin of Chaos and follow at Dave Reed.
There you go.
And drink twice for that.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? Just finish whatever you're drinking and open another one.
And then get your friends to follow us too.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. And you can follow Rodney too, right?
Rodney the Cat has his own Twitter account. It's at Rodney _the_cat. Because for some reason, the other Rodney the Cat without underscores was already taken. But he does occasionally tweet his thoughts. They're kind of frank from the cat. But yeah, he keeps it real.
Keeps it real. For a cat, that just means give me tuna, right?
It's more like pet me now.
Oh, pet me now.
Right. I want to sleep.
Give me fish.
Yep.
Well, this has been, I'm sure, a very inebriated and
yes,
lovely a little slice of DrupalCon.
Yeah, this is how you can have your own DrupalCon. And there is a joke Twitter called DrupalCon.
And I will probably say I'm still probably a little hungover from last night, too.
Well, and this is what you're missing if you don't come here, so...
You can drink with Dave Reed and Earl Miles.
That's very true.
It's true.
So Munich and Portland, although at this point they haven't really said Portland, but come on.
It's a secret.
It's a secret that's been blabbed all over Twitter like 8,000 times.
And so, yeah, the website Portland is already live.
Yeah, so it's Portland. I don't think I'm going to make Munich, but Portland is a short hop from San Jose, so I'll probably make that.
Excellent. Well, we will see you guys there.
All right.
Will do.
Excellent.
I will be ready.
See you then.
That Dave Reed, anybody with an orange cat is all right in my book.
Really? An orange cat?
Well, and if you're,
three cats?
If you're not from the States, you might say a ginger cat.
Is that Rodney the cat?
It is Rodney. He's a cat with his own developer account, I believe.
Yes. I think he has his own Twitter account, too.
Yes.
There you go. So, I mean, that was, how'd you manage this interview? Did you just...
This is the magic of DrupalCon, ask and ye shall receive.
There you go.
I was standing in the Palantir booth, and there's Earl, and Earl's babies and everything. And The Earl. That guy.
The Earl of Miles.
The Earl of Earl.
I said, you know, we really, really need to get you on a podcast at some point. He says, what are you doing now? And I said, you know, let's go do it. And he says, you know what? It'd be even better if we just go collect Dave. And I said, oh, that would be like the drinking game trifecta. Like, we have to do that. And you just got to stand in the right place and ask the right question.
With a tiny microphone.
Yeah, I want to apologize for anyone who may be an audio engineer out there, because the whole point of doing these podcasts this way is that we can do them from anywhere, with anyone, at any time. And I know that there's some, foosball tables and, like, all kinds of stuff. But we did them.
But when you unplug the iPhone from your Android... The iPhone what?
The iPhone mic.
When you unplug the mic from your Android and hold it in your hand, you look like a giant. It looks like you're 30 feet tall. It's fabulous.
Very cool. So, yeah, I had a great time doing all the interviews this week, and I feel like it made my DrupalCon, like, even that much better, so...
Well, you had a non-creepy reason for stalking people.
License to stalk.
Very nice, yeah. Very nice. All right, well, Steve, I want to say thanks for you to coming. You're great, and keep doing what you do.
Thank you. My pleasure joining with you guys. Been wanting to do this for a while.
Cool.
We'll do more in the future, for sure.
Yeah, and please go to our podcast page, because there are lots and lots of podcasts from DrupalCon Denver, and we also publish a new news show every 2 weeks, and we're on the Drupal Planet and the iTunes, and we will have some training events coming up, and watch our website for the latest about that. And hopefully, you know, travel permitting, we will see you in Munich.
Steve, where can people find you online?
Our website is DrupalConnect.com.
Twitter?
Twitter, I am Wonder95. Everywhere, I am Wonder95.
Because you were clearly born in 1995.
Actually, perfect. No. That year, I used to be just Wonder, but too many people were using that, so I added the year that I started using that nickname.
Very so interesting. All right.
You know, first name Steve. If you're my age and you grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, when Stevie Wonder was around, you got called Stevie Wonder. So just a natural nickname. Trust me. Ask anybody named Steve who's my age, and they'll tell you they've been called Stevie Wonder. Or at least once.
Very nice.
Even if you're not black and blonde.
And an incredible singer.
Yes. Yeah. I'm definitely not that.
How about you, Mr. Price?
I go by Liberator with the Web 2.0 spelling. And
if you're ever in Orlando, please come and check out our Drupal Coworking Fridays, which is the last Friday of every month. But they're all over the country, and I just heard about someone like pitching to do one in like Arkansas, I believe. So
they've got Drupals in Arkansas?
There might be a Drupal Coworking Friday in your city, so check that out.
Excellent. And as always, you can find what Drupal Easy is up to on Twitter at Drupal Easy. And I am Ultimike. I think that should wrap it up, right?
Ooh, can I do the goodbye?
Should we let him do it? That's kind of my thing.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. He asked really nice, though.
He did ask nice. And it is DrupalCon. It's like the season of giving.
Take it away, Steve.
See ya!